All right, here we are. We've just done the wonderful juggle that, with modern technology. We've managed to connect to Denmark.
All the way to Denmark.
We've got Anders from Trent Moller here on the line with us. Welcome. How's it going?
Thank you. Thank you very much for being in, on your show. I'm fine. I just woke up.
7:30 in the morning. Yeah, 7:30 in the morning in Denmark.
No time for breakfast or coffee just yet?
No. No, actually, I just got a cup of tea, but I'm fine. I'm up and running. I have a little son that that is awake early in the morning, so that's totally fine.
Yes, just early start with children, correct, Amanda. Yeah. Now, we are super excited to have Trent Moller making your way to Aotearoa, New Zealand, in June. You're playing at the Power Station. Yeah. It's Saturday night here. You with full band are on your way. I guess what is drawing you down these ways is you're actually playing at Dark Mofo in Tasmania. From any of my friends that have managed to make the trek to that particular festival, they rate it as one of the best on the planet. What do you know about Dark Mofo?
Yeah, I actually also heard a lot of good things about it, and I saw the lineup this year. There were a lot of bands that I also listened to, so I guess personally, it would definitely be a festival that I would also attend. So it just seems like they have always curated a quite nice lineup, so I'm very grateful and happy that suddenly we are playing that festival, of course. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to do that, and it also seems like it's a more like post-rock indie kind of festival that really has a strong musical profile, so it's also always fun to play festivals that really know what they are doing.
Yes, of course. So yeah, it's a great time of year here in Auckland, New Zealand, because we do get a few sideshows, so it's great to see who's playing Dark Mofo. We also get some of the benefits of the festival, which is fantastic. We have a few days in New Zealand and Australia, or are you just, is it a short sort of trip?
Actually, unfortunately, it's a short trip, and that's such a shame because some of the band members in the band, they also have other shows here in Europe. So it's more like in and out, and that's really a shame because this is the first time I'm in New Zealand.
Yes.
And of course, I would have loved to see more of the beautiful nature, even if it's winter when we are coming. It still would be fantastic to have just some more days, but I think we are in New Zealand in 3 days. We have two shows, and then we have 2 days in Australia, and then it's back again, actually. So
you've got to do what you got to do, right? Now, Anders, I've got a series of open-ended questions. Obviously, feel free to answer them however seriously or like you like, but I guess we just crack into it because we're doing it live right now. Yeah. Now, Anders, how would you define what you do, and how did you come to do it?
It's been a long journey. I started up playing like more like Britpop music here in Denmark, and was very much into that. And then I turned more into electronic music because I think I was just a little bit tired of just being in the practice room 4 or 5 days a week with the other people, and you know, they often, the drummer forgot the fills, and the singer would sing something that I didn't like, and you know, so I started working with a sampler and doing my own stuff, and then I got a little bit tired of that, so I missed playing more like indie rock stuff again. So now I'm kind of doing something that is a mixture of both electronic and, you know, more rock stuff, and I'm playing only with a band now again. So it's a kind of a full circle, I think, and it really makes sense for me to do the band thing. But now it's me who is the boss, you know. that is fine with me, especially in you know, that social thing, being in a band, because I'm also a bit of a control freak, I think. So I really like to to have a quite clear vision of how the music should sound. But then again, I also have the benefits of playing with the band, because they also give me a lot of inputs and feedback on the music. And I really love how we shape the music together, actually. So it's not just Trenton Miller. It is not just me with the backing band, but I really feel that we are a band in itself. So yeah, that's really cool.
Live electronica, but it has quite a post-punk feel to it. Would you say that as a...
Yeah, I am 50, you know, so I really grew up with a lot of those bands, you know, and I think that you can hear that in my music. And so it's actually not that electronic anymore. I think it's has more roots in some shoegaze, dream pop stuff, and you know, then I still have some electronic elements, because I also like to mix that into the music, so we don't sound like a totally copy of Slow Dive or something else. So it has always been important for me to kind of define my own sound. But of course, I have inspirations from a lot of different music, not only post rock actually, but a lot of different stuff. I also listen a lot to classical music and jazz and folk music. So yeah,
nice. Now describe your first musical memory.
The first musical memory, that was actually listening to a Danish band that actually got quite well known in the 60s. They were called Savage Rose, and they had a song called Dear Little Mother, and it was a huge hit in the States actually. And I can remember that I heard that on the radio, and I felt it was really creepy, because it sounded very differently from other kind of mainstream pop that was in the radio. And that was the first time that I heard music. I think I was maybe 5 years old or 6 years old, that somehow felt very special, and I was a bit afraid of that song. It felt like it was a witch singing or something. I can remember that I thought this one must be a witch singing, but it really sounded differently. And then I can remember the second thing that I heard was Venus and First with the Velvet Underground, and I had kind of the same feeling that, wow, something sounding totally different compared to what else was played in on the, you know, national mainstream radio. Yeah,
nice. Now describe your best musical memory to date.
My best memory was maybe when we played Coachella. That was nearly 10 years ago, because we had a really good show the evening before, and we were really hangover, actually, to be honest. So we have been driving all night in the bus, and you know, then came to the festival, and we didn't know what to expect, because we were not that well known, I thought, back then. But then we had a really good slot. It was a Sunday at sunset, and we went on stage, and it was full of people, that outdoor tent, and just more and more people came to our show, and it was really goosebumps, you know. And the sun went down, and we played our songs, and in the end, I think, I don't know how many people were there, maybe 40,000, maybe even more.
Wow. You know,
that was crazy, because we were like underdogs, and we kind of just had to really start up with, of course there were some people in the beginning, but it just kept on coming with the people to the tent, and it was one of our best shows, I think. And it was actually good, because we had a bit of a hangover, I think, so we were not that nervous, you know. so that was fun.
Excellent. Where do you feel that artistic progression leads?
For me personally,
yes, for you. It could be the collective, or it could be you personally.
I am actually trying, when I'm doing a new record, I'm trying not to listen to other artists' music actually, because I sometimes feel a little bit confused, and I also sometimes fight with a low self-esteem musically wise, because I'm always trying to find new ways to move my music, and it is not always a easy thing. And also because I'm doing music on my own, I'm not doing it together with a band. So I'm actually sitting alone in my studio for like 1 year, writing the music, producing the music, and then when the music is finished, the album is finished, I get together with a band, and then we start to transform the music from my studio to the band thing. So I always feel that I'm a bit on, you know, shaky ground when I'm starting on a new album, and it's always with a little bit of fear and also excitement, but it's always a mixed feeling in the beginning, because I you know, always feel that maybe I totally lost it now. Mm-hmm. And now this will be my last album, because I'm gonna repeat myself, but somehow I always succeed in doing something that I'm happy with in the end. But
yes. Now, I mean, that kind of leads into the next question, but how would you define success?
Oh, yeah, that is something that is really hard to answer. For me, it is not something about sales or money or anything. It is definitely, for me, if I get goosebumps listening to my own music, not yes. every time, but sometimes
oh, nice.
When I'm a very, very basic, simple thing, that is something that means the whole to me, because if I get that, maybe someone else listening to my music would have the same feeling, you know. So it is always a good thing for me to go after that gut feeling, that stomach feeling, and then I don't really think too much about target groups or label or expectations yes. or reviews and all that.
Of course. Could you describe something that you haven't created yet that you would like to create?
A lot. There's a lot of albums that I would love to do, and I would love to learn to play the guitar much better. I'm really bad at that, because I really use guitar quite a lot in my music. There's a lot of. I also would love to not collect so much music bullshit. You know, sorry for my language, but I have a lot of effect guitar pedals in my studio. I think I have more than 500 pedals. That's really
Whoa.
Crazy, and I don't use half of them.
Yes.
So maybe a little bit more focused on what I'm buying, but I can't stop being on eBay and buying old vintage
yes.
weird stuff from Japan. And
okay, all right. Okay, couple more questions. We've got. What do you believe is the most essential function of art?
Whoa, yeah, that is a big question.
Yes.
I think it is somehow open people's eyes for creating a space where you can go to for a little moment experience something that is out of this world, if you know what I mean, you
yes.
know, that is definitely what I'm always seeking, you know, a place that is magical in a way. So I think we really need that, especially in you know, these times with war and crisis and post-corona, and there's so much going on in the world, and I think art can sometimes help to, of course, define those problems, and not only creating a space to flow into, but also somehow help us to cope with all those terrible things happening in the world. And for me, art always, music is especially a way of coping with my own feelings. A lot of my music is quite melancholic, and some people say it's a bit dark, but to me, listening to that melancholic music and having those dark influences actually helped me not to be too melancholic and not to be too depressive, actually, because I have a platform where I can go into those feelings in a kind of a safe and healthy way. I don't know if it
yes.
makes sense.
It makes 100% sense to me. Yes. Now, Anders, okay, two more questions. The second to last one is something non-musical that you're looking forward to.
I'm actually really looking forward to go on holiday with my family, actually, because we have been playing quite a lot of shows this year, and
yes,
and just doing something that is not about music and the whole music industry will be really, really nice. So yeah, we're going to south of France in July, and that's going to be nice, I think.
Excellent. Okay, last question. Now, you've collaborated with an incredible list of artists right throughout your career. Do you have any personal highlights? And I mean, how do you approach collaboration? And what do you think makes a successful creative partnership?
I've done it in, you know, two paths, I think, because I've been remixing quite a lot of names, both unknown names and big names, and the thing is that they have always asked me, so I have never actually done anything to ask to do remixes, but at, you know, one point I was a little bit tired of using so much time on remixes, because it you know, really took up a lot of time. And then I've also worked with a lot of different vocalists on my albums. And actually on the last album, I decided not to have any features, but to only have one vocalist. And that will be the same thing with my new album, to only have one vocalist, because I also felt that it could be a little bit, it could feel a little bit unpersonal, and it could maybe not make the flow as organic as I wanted it. If you have like four or five different human voices on an album, and you have to identify with each of them, but to be supporting Depeche Mode, we played 10 shows with them in Europe on big stadiums. That was like a teenage dream come true for me. And
yes,
talking to Martin Gore backstage, and he's my big idol hero, you know. And they were just so really, really nice people, down to earth. And we sat and ate dinner with them before the show and stuff like that. So that was really a big thing. Also remixing them, that was actually how that tour came up, because actually Martin Gore wrote me an email, and I was like, this is one of my friends doing a joke on me, because Martin Gore is not writing anyone. And instead it was actually Martin Gore writing me, asking me if we wanted to play with the Depeche Mode, and I was like, of course we wanted to do that. So that was a big thing for me.
Wow, amazing. Hey, Anders, thank you so much. Trent Imola down here in New Zealand on Saturday the 17th of June playing the Power Station in Auckland, which is an absolutely fantastic venue. Amazing sound in there and great lines of sight. So it's a great Auckland venue for you to play. I was just wondering if you could potentially do a voice ID for the station. I don't know, you might be able to see the name of the radio station on the top of the Zoom chat there. 95BFM.
95BFM?
Yeah, 95BFM, that's the radio station.
Okay. Hi, this is Trent Miller, and you're listening to 95BFM.
There we go. Hey, thank you so much, Anders. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you on the phone, live all the way from Denmark. We'll look forward to seeing you down here in a few weeks' time.
Me too. I'm really looking forward. And this is the first time for us, so it's really going to be great.
Fantastic, mate. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.